Everybody touch your head and tell yourself, from today, I will take the responsibility of subjecting my mind to the Holy Spirit, who will help me to manage it. Amen.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
The book of Acts chapter 5, and it is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Acts chapter 5, from verses 1 to 11. Please, we're going to read just the first two verses. Ready? Go. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, A man named Ananias sold a property, his wife's full knowledge, and then they brought it, laid it at the apostles' feet. Take your seats. Last week, as I was in my hotel watching this service, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. It was clear, it was not mistaking. So let's remind my people that their minds are involved in their worship of me. And many Christians are losing the battle because we're losing the battle of the mind. I had prepared to teach this lesson in a particular way until the Lord reminded me that in the kingdom, your mind is crucial. And as I began to pray in my hotel room, and I cry out to God, and I said, Father, I do not understand this fully. Unfold it to me. He gave me a vision that was so clear as to how to articulate this truth. And he said, there are many who are living their Christian life for themselves because their mind tells them to do it so. But when Jesus steps on the scene, he says, change your mind, repent. That's what that word means. For the kingdom of heaven has come. That if we will live in God's kingdom, we must learn to change our thinking. Bow your head with me for a moment. Pray and say, Father, speak to me. Use pastor's mouth to declare some truth to me. I want you to pray, everybody. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Ask the Lord, Father, help me today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Mighty God, we want to thank you this morning as we open the pages of Scripture that you would speak to us, that you would challenge us with your truth. Help us to fully grasp the lessons that are in the Ananias and Sapphira's story. Bring us to a place of greater understanding in you. And help us to constantly and continually prepare ourselves for your coming. Even in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said amen. So we're back in the book of Acts chapter 5. We've been studying the book of Acts. And this morning I'll be reading about the Ananias and Sapphira story. And we will be using as a subject, please write it down, who. is driving your actions? Who is driving your actions? And the answer follows. It's either Satan or the Holy Spirit. There's no middle ground. You are either being driven by the Holy Spirit to function, or Satan is driving you. And most often, you will find that the devil is at work. And Christians boast about it. Today, I pray you will not do that. Amen. I am going to make a statement. Please understand this and grab what I'm about to say. Your actions are controlled by your mind. Do you agree? Are your actions controlled by your mind? It means as a man thinks, so what is he? And whatever impulses or ideas you yield to mentally determines your actions. Let's put it into plain terms. If you think a certain way, you will act that way. There is no way that you will think a certain way and act differently. The way you think is the way you act. Do you agree? Do you agree? If you think in a particular way that you want to always be at work on time, and it is what is in your thinking, it helps you to always prepare early, and you are never late. But if you think that there is a way around it, sometimes you will cut corners. Am I right? So your thinking determines your, come on, your thinking determines your, all right. In the book of Romans chapter 7, please turn your Bibles there, and I want you to look at verse 25. This was the scripture the Lord opened my eyes to last Sunday morning. Romans chapter 7, verse 25. Please, it's on the screen. If you can read that with me, that would be great. Shall we? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law. So it is with the mind that we serve the Lord. Say that with me. Come on, say it again. For it is with the mind that we serve the Lord. So in your Christian walk, your mind is in it. You can't check it out. It is actually where Satan fights you. It is where things take place. And if you feel defeated mentally, you are defeated. You can come for an all-night prayer service and you pray through the night. If this is already defeated, your prayer is a waste of time. You must learn to guard this. Amen. And there are many things that are craving your attention in today's world. Be careful what you let in. Because Satan wants to rule and govern you. Amen. Romans chapter 6. So if my mind will determine my actions, then I must learn how to control this mind. I must learn how to. Are you in Romans chapter 6? Look at the 13th verse. Romans chapter 6. And verse 13, read with me, shall we? Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Go back to the beginning. Everybody say yield. Say it again, yield. Please write this down. The Holy Spirit is a gentle spirit, and he will restrain you as far as you yield to him. He will never struggle with you. As far as you yield to him, he will lead you. The Bible says, don't yield your members. Prayer will not do it. You have to make up your mind. You are not going to give the parts of your body to sin. Are you guys hearing me? When you pray, you only ask God for help. But when you are done, you have to do it. Young people, listen to me. When you watch certain videos, it will motivate you to do those things. There is no middle ground that you will watch it and do the opposite. It doesn't happen that way. So from today, please stop deceiving yourself. You have to take responsibility. When your emotions are, I need to go do this, do you have the ability to control it? Pastor, I thought you said Ananias and Sapphira. I'm laying the groundwork. We'll come there. Do you have to take responsibility for your emotions? So if you feel like driving all the way to Washington, D.C. and jump into the Potomac, it comes into your head. You have two options. Option number one is what? You could decide, I'm not doing it. Or you could decide, I am what? Doing it. In the same way, if a boy is around you and say, let's have sex, I'm going to call in the bad word. We're not covering it because you're doing crazy stuff. You have to make a decision. This is not how I'm going to live. Are you guys with me? When a husband thinks that this marriage is over, please, it is not over. It is in your head. You need to wage that warfare going on in your head. Are you with me today? Quit this whole idea of my feelings. Feelings change. Feelings what? You could be happy in the morning, then in the afternoon, you are sad. So you cannot live life based on what? Your feelings. You must always use your head. For it is with the mind that we serve the Lord. Warfare takes place here. Everything takes place here. Faith begins here. And you must learn to control this the right way. Amen. The story of Ananias and Sapphira shows us how the believer can yield their mind either to the Holy Spirit or to Satan. There's no middle ground. Either your mind is under the control of the Spirit of God, or your mind is under the control of Satan. And in this story, we learn that this dude decided, him and his wife, to yield their mind to Satan. You can be in church, and you can be reading the Bible, and still Satan would seduce you and put thoughts in your mind. Once you yield to it and start following it, your actions and the outcomes of the things you are doing will be that which Satan wants. Are you guys with me? You can come here. Lord, we worship you. When you are done, Satan will put thoughts there. You must learn to capture them and not allow them to be in control. If you do allow them, he will be in control. And we can be fasting and praying for you, and it will not work. You must learn to control this thing. Everybody, touch your head and tell yourself, from today, I will take the responsibility of subjecting my mind to the Holy Spirit, who will help me to manage it. Amen. So let's pick up the story. Let's pick up the story. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. I'll read from the New International. He said, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold. Everybody say also. Now, the concept of also tells you then that some people have done the same thing that they are about to do. Do you agree? So let's go to Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 36 and 37 for you to understand what is being said here. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' what? Feet. The believers, the scripture says, had come together. Notice the church was formed in Acts chapter 2, correct? Now, so chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, that means the church has not been in existence for long. There were not many churches. There was one church. It didn't have many addresses. There were not branches There was only one church. And the scripture says that this people had come together, they have gathered, and then they decided they were going to have all things in common. Having all things in common is not God's will. Because the scripture teaches us to work hard. Some will be lazy. So it is not right that those who have worked hard, that we take what they have and give it to those who are being lazy. You are violating scripture. Are you guys with me? However, even though they were doing the wrong thing, God still stepped in and punished somebody. This is a very difficult text to explain, but I will do well to bring you to where God has brought me. Amen. So the scripture says, Joseph, who was later on named Barnabas by the apostles, he sold the field, brought the money, and put it at the apostles' feet. Please look at my face. Picture this, that you have brought big money to our church. And then when you brought it, I, the pastor, looked at you and said, from today, you are no more Abigail. But I give you a special name that has significance. And then everybody is looking and said, huh. So that is how to get privilege and name that looks good in the church. So I am also going to do exactly what Abigail did. Ananias and Sapphira wanted a name. The same name Joseph, who was named Barnabas, got. The son of encouragement. God, you sold your entire land. You brought the whole money to us. You are an encouragement to us. Sometimes there are things we are wishing for, but we are not willing to pay the price for that thing. But where does it start? It starts here. It starts in your mind. Can you see Mr. Ananias? I don't know his last name. And Mrs. Sapphira Ananias. They have a very wonderful name. Ananias means grace. Sapphira means beauty. And people like this function in that way. So they also sold a field. And the scripture says they brought it and they put it at the apostles' feet. Let's pick up the reading. Acts chapter 5. Come on. Look there with me from verse 2. With his wise full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Come on, Pete. This is somebody's own money. It's his own land. He sold his own thing. He has his own money, and he brought you some. Why are you saying he's lying? Because he told Peter it was the whole what? Money. It was the whole money. It was the whole money. I'll come to it. Let's continue reading. Verse 4. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. But who was he lying to? How many of you have not lied to me? And you are still alive. I'll tell you why you are alive. But sometimes you are alive physically, but you are dying spiritually. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. Verse 7, about 3 hours later, his wife came in. Mrs. Not knowing what had happened, Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Then Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Please pay attention to something, because the first time Peter only exposed what they have done, but Peter was not the one who pronounced the death. I do not have the authority to pray for you to die. It's not in the scriptures. Anybody who told you that and is doing that is not a man of God. Amen? The only one who has a right to take your life is the one who gave it to you. And that's God himself. But in the second time, Peter is now proclaiming it because he has already seen what God has already what done. Verse 10, at that moment she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young man came in and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church. Great fear seized the... So this was not done outside of church. This is taking place. How many of you will go to church in a place where people die because they lied? Bible said, and all who heard about these events, and if you read verse 12, it tells you that most people didn't want to go there because it's human nature. I go to church and then they will carry my dead body. Let's try to understand the basic things before we apply the scripture. Why did Ananias and his wife die immediately? Why? Was it because they lied? If that is the case, this room will be empty. I don't need to ask you, but I know most of you lie. Sometimes in counseling, I have people sitting in front of me, they are saying something, and based on the fact that I've done counseling for so long, I can tell when a husband is lying, and I can tell. I don't need the Holy Spirit to see that one. I can tell. Your body language, your face, your eyes, I know when you're lying. And most of the time, I don't ask the question. I keep quiet. Because if you have a headache and you tell me you have a stomach ache, which one do I give you? Do I give you Tylenol or I give you Pepto Bismol? If you sell the wrong information, you get wrong one diagnosis. In certain cases, I'll tell them, I don't think you need Tylenol. You need Pepto. Pastor, but you know this is what I said. I said, but if you know your problem, why are you here? And I said, as far as I'm concerned, I think you're lying to me. There are times I tell people, I say, you're lying to me. This is the real issue. My wife will tell you, I can ask you the same question 10 times in different ways because I'm pushing you to bring you back to awaken your conscience that I know you're lying. So this whole thing is not about money. God is not interested in your money. He owns the world. But he's saying that when you lie about your giving, where does it start from? When you are lying about your giving, where does it start? It starts here. Why should I give them all of that? I'm not going to do that. Let me take some. Why did Ananias and Sapphira die immediately that you and I are lying and we are not dead? The answer is very simple. It's enshrined in a principle. God is a jealous God. And like a husband who has married initially, you will protect your spouse. Kevin, the day you married and a guy showed up and wants to be around Tangeria, what would you do? It ain't happening. You're not going to take it. You protect it. But after so many years, a guy shows up, what would you do? You don't worry that much because you know her and know that there is no way he can get her. There was only one church. It was the beginning of the church. The honeymoon was not over, and God was not going to allow lies to be the beginning of his church, and he has to kill those two. Today we are many, so we keep lying. But he knows us. God does what? He knows you. The second thing I want to look at is that Peter said, Satan has filled your heart. How does Satan fill your heart? This is what I came for. This is the lesson. How does Satan fill a person's heart? Let's look at the word filled used in the context. It's a Greek word called pleru. What it means is that Satan can incite you and push you to a place where your mind becomes full of what he's presenting. That's why the English Bible used the word filled. He can prompt you. When the devil put thoughts into your mind, he brings you to a place where those thoughts, you are the one, when he puts it there, does he rehearse it for you? Who rehearses it? You. Do not follow it. Do not keep playing it. The longer you rehearse it, You will get to a place where pleru will occur. It will fill your thoughts. And once it fills your thoughts, your actions will follow. It's just natural. When you walk as a believer, and the enemy is giving you thoughts, and you are rehearsing them, it's amazing how we are in church, but our thoughts are filthy, including mine. I'm not taking myself out. You have seen them. They have a nice house. You want to have some. Barnabas has it. So Ananias and Sapphira must have it. Really? If my casket is here, and the most richest man in the world, who might he be now? I think it might be Elon Musk, right? His casket is here. No matter how nice his casket looks in comparison to mine, how much of the money we both have now will be put into the casket? That's the word I'm looking for. Not nothing, zero. Because sometimes some people's nothing is something. Zero. Nothing in there. We must come to that place as a people of God that Satan has what it takes. In fact, in the book of Job chapter 2 verse 3, what did God himself say? He says, Satan, you came to pleru me to fight against Job. He has a way of inciting, and the devil is inciting many Christians. Whenever you are in an action, ask yourself, is this being incited by the Holy Spirit, or is the devil filling? He has filled me to the brim, and now I am acting it out. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Please look at the third verse for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's look at verse 3. Is it even possible for Satan to put thoughts in our mind? Is it possible for him to prompt us? Is it possible for him to incite us? Please read with me from the screen if you can, shall we? Go. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion. So your sincere and pure devotion does not stop Satan from moving you around. You will find a Christian in church. They gave God their all, they are serving. All of a sudden, somebody catches them behind, gossips in their ears, and their attitude changes. And they think they are doing a good thing. Satan is filling your heart. Because the Holy Spirit will not help you do that. Are you with me? He says you can be led astray from what? A sincere and a pure heart devotion to the Lord. For it is with the mind we serve the Lord. For it is the mind you serve the Lord with this. And this has to be controlled. The only way to do it, because to do it humanly is difficult. So the only way to do it is to keep subjecting this to the Holy Spirit. The thoughts that he puts there. You live by it. I know somebody was saying, but Pastor, we are Christians. How can Satan actually put thoughts in our minds? Let's just be honest. We don't need to read the scriptures. Does he put thoughts in our head? I just told you, he did it with God himself. He says, you are inciting me against Job. He did it with Jesus. So me and you, why can't he do it? He's doing it every day. And believers are buying into what the enemy is saying. Amen. Will Satan tell you to go and apologize to someone who has offended you? In other words, you are in the right, they are in the wrong. And you hear a voice that says, go and apologize to them. It's the opposite. Would that be Satan? So why do you ignore it? Since you claim you want to follow the Holy Spirit. I'm praying to see if the voice was from God. You don't need that. You know that it is God. It's only him who will let you do something that's not natural. Amen. It's a hard lesson, but it's the truth. Because it is with the mind I want that thing to sink into your spirit. It is the mind. When there is warfare, where does it start from? Your mind. This thing needs to be controlled.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.